Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, well, welcome everyone to another episode of Ron's Media Matrix, and just go ahead and get your bag of pork rinds and hot sauce ready, because we're going to be here for the next 2 hours trying to entertain and inform you with various things like reading news articles and making commentary. So stand by, and we're going to play a little intro music before I get warmed up here. I just kind of jumped on in the area, and I'm going to play my intro thing, and then we'll be taking calls and giving me the news and views of Ron's Media Matrix. So make sure you stay tuned for the next 2 hours. And let me dig through these server files here. And let's see if I can find my little piece of original music. Doesn't seem to be, let's see here. Oh, here we go. All right. So I'll be right back. Welcome everyone to Ron's Media Matrix, your spot on the Freedom Miles Radio dial here. Every Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., I'm here live with you, and we're going to cover some news, play a little music. I don't have a real, cut and dry plan today, but I'm here, and I'm going to fill up the airtime and play a few commercials, and I'll be taking calls from you. If you like, you can call me at 347-324-3704. Tell me what's on your mind. And I'm just going to kind of kick off things with some music as I get settled in here in my show. And, make sure you stay tuned there. So I'm going to play a little Poker Face for you just to kind of get things started while I finish my breakfast here and get into my coffee here. And we'll be right back after this song from Poker Face, Paul Petty and Company, Break the Control. Good job.
your rights, only doing what's right. They'll knock you to your knees.
Folks, that's right. That song there tells it all. You got to get rid of this chicken shit, micromanaged, federalized government, nanny state, whatever you want to call it, that are controlling our lives. But in the meantime, we have one of our former hosts here, Uncle Buck, and he's going to talk to us, so we're going to put him right on the line.
Hey,
Uncle Buck. Hey. Glad to hear from you, buddy. Really glad you called in.
Well, thank you. I was just sitting here spray-painting my bug-out vehicle with, let me see here, Rust-Oleum Camouflage, Deep Forest Green. Yeah, and I just looked at it and answered, and I said, oh, okay, but yeah, you're right. It's off the hook, man. It's off the hook. People say, aren't you ever happy? I said, happiness is overrated. I said, I have joy, which is not dependent upon my circumstances at every moment, it's like a roller coaster. And happy? No, I'm not happy. And I haven't been happy, per se. I mean, little things will make you happy, like spray painting my bug-out vehicles makes me happy. But, no, we're in the middle of the ultimate tyranny, middle of the police state, man.
We are.
Yeah. Well, if you can be happy in that, cool, good for you. I'm a bit worried, to be honest, a bit perplexed, bit concerned. Happy is not one thing I am, really. I'm in deep thinking and deep thought all the time about what do I do next to help not just myself, but others. And that's, I'm up on my property in northeastern Washington. And we're doing a huge farming project, greenhouse, indoor stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm so glad I'm doing a hydropower project. I'm doing it because already in my community in this area, my plans will be to, I could fill a grocery bag full of Russian pomegranate, tomatoes, broccoli, you name it.
No, that sounds awesome, Uncle Bob.
Well, fresh baked bread and a 12 dozen eggs for around $20 to $25, clear to the top.
I have
more people wanting to buy. They say, I'll just buy my groceries from you from now on because they know it's organic, no pesticides. They know it's, you can't touch that at a grocery store. And I say
No.
Yeah, I say that because I knew this was coming. And, like, Salente, you spoke on him. He's a trends forecaster. Current events form future trends. So, yeah, wake up, folks. I mean, this is no longer, this is in your face now. I mean, this is moving so fast with the gun grabs, the staged killings of prominent people in the pro-gun movement, pro-Second Amendment people, America's Sniper, and that's, oh, come on, Sandy Hook, all of it. So you're right, man. It's off the hook, micromanagement, you bet.
And, chicken poop, for lack of a better term.
Hey, sometimes Mark Twain said the right word was spiritual, if not electrifying. So shit might work.
Well, when I was raised on the farm as a kid, the old joke was that about the boy who went into the chicken coop, he lost his gum, and he had to pick up several pieces before he found it.
Well, I hear you. I was watching an InfoWars video this morning on South Carolina getting invaded, some county seat there, because they're, trying to do this to go into these African countries. And I'm like, man. So, folks, this year is going to be, every year we think is bad, but this year is going to, it's now the tyranny is in your face, second term, and third term coming, by the way, 22nd Amendment on its way out.
Yeah.
So it's in your face. And you know one thing I want to say real quick? I brought this up the other day.
All right.
I think it's in Revelation 7. Someone can quote me if I'm wrong, but it's close. Christ said, Satan, I know where your seat is. I was reading down in my study Bible. It talked about Zeus, the seat of Zeus, the altar of Zeus in Greece at the time.
Mm-hmm.
That altar was removed by Hitler, put in Berlin, and then moved to just outside of Berlin, and it's there today. Obama stopped in his first bid to be president and basically worshipped at that altar. Then, first convention, when he was first appointed president, he had a rendition of it built for him in Colorado. So, isn't that interesting? Put these things together. I mean, who is this guy? It's getting more and more evident, I think, who he is. He's worshipped.
That's true.
That off the hook or what?
Well, that was the thing about people are praising Lord Obama, guy said something about he's my savior.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's just really off the hook. Right now, I'll just give you a little brief of what I'm facing here. I'm putting my trailer home up for sale on Craigslist, and if it doesn't sell in a reasonable amount of time, because I want to go out into Maryland and have a relationship with a lady out there, and if it doesn't go through, I'm kind of I'm stuck. I mean, I'm facing losing everything I own, almost, pretty close to it.
2 years ago, where this was going, and I mentioned to you, don't pay those credit cards. It's not even money.
Well, I'm out of credit card debt, but now I'm up against the situation that, you know, the EDD, I fought with them. I had to go before a judge to finally get my unemployment improved. And then I took 2 weeks off to go visit this woman in Maryland that's who I want to marry. And they turned around and because I wasn't here to file the claim by postal mail, they wondered what happened. And they wanted to know where I went and what I was doing.
Sure.
I said I had a family emergency. And now they send me a letter with all this legalese talking about I might not, you know, they might not, I might cut off my unemployment for that. So I
know.
Went for another hearing.
Yeah.
And well, I got to tell some judge my personal business. That's off the hook.
Well, it is, and that is it, folks. This is the consolidation of not only our property, but our very bodies under the health care. It's a claim upon your body. And think about that now. There's somewhere that some book talks about a claim upon your body, a claim, a mark, so on and so forth. So as everyone loses their homes that are owned by the bankers, as everyone goes under the health care and so on and so forth, you know, people are really starting to go, oh, wow, and they are. They're being forced to go. But here's the thing with Americans. Overall, they don't want to know. We know this. They don't care until it personally affects them. And, you know, like Joan says, if that cop doesn't keep protecting that person's rights, I'm next. So, you know, don't kick that guy in the throat. Do your job. Put him away. Maybe he's a scoundrel. But you don't kick him in the throat when no one's looking. You preserve that man's rights. And because we always look out for ourselves. That's a sign of a decaying society. We must look out for our neighbor. And I really enjoy the area I'm in because it's like that here. Guy did for my place. He dug a huge 6-foot ditch from my front yard to my backyard for my septic. And a little track hole. I said, well, what do I owe you? He said, $100 or a case of beer. And I said, wow. I said, well, I don't participate in alcohol, but here's your $100. And he said, you know, I said, you can make a business out of this. He says, I know I could, but I don't want to. $100 to dig a ditch probably 50 yards, and I'm like 6 foot deep. And I'm so thankful to live up in northeastern Washington. I'm from Montana originally. I grew up there in Alaska. And I've got a house here and there, but I'm telling you, folks, you've got to be around like-minded people. Salente talked about that. Dr. Jerome Corsi talked about that just the other day on a show I was listening to. In fact, have you heard of Citadel in Idaho?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, you might want to Google that, folks. Citadel. There is, 40,000 people. It's families coming together in North Idaho that realize what's up. And they are...
What's going on? Yeah.
Well, about 3,000-plus acres. They are all getting together, promoting American exceptionalism. Be a part of their community. You must carry a firearm. They want you to be a believer in God. It's part of the rules getting into place. You can send your kids to public school or private. But they want to do the old colonial system. They don't want the health care. They don't want their guns taken. And people say, oh, well, that's a Waco. Well, it may be. And they're also building a 16-foot-high wall around their 3,000 acres with walls inside for tactical purposes. People say, oh, that's crazy. Well, Waco is about 100 people, 150 people or less. This is 40,000 people, and now they're swamped with 20,000 more applications they're going through, and more every day. People realize what's up. People want to be around other like-minded folk. They want to say, I don't want, you know, jackbooted thugs kicking in my door, taking my firearms. And, you know, either around you've got to be around like-minded folks. You're not going to survive this yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't look at it as a bad thing. I think, wow, what's wrong with that? Constitutionalism, carry a firearm, I like homeschooling, promote goods and services. They're going to, you know, provide goods and services, do their own shoe cobbling, make stuff out of forest products, so on and so forth. But you have Glenn Beck, who I'm not the greatest fan of, but he's doing his Liberty City in Liberty, Texas. He's calling it $2 billion. He's doing the same thing. So wake up, folks, because it is getting segregated in the sense of, are you going to be a reasonable, rational person following the Ten Commandments, which are what's so bad? Don't kill, don't steal, don't, you know, don't murder, you know, so on and so forth. The And I don't see anything wrong with that. I see as a sitting duck all by yourself. You know?
Yeah.
It's called Citadel. You can Google that, and, you know, it's getting a lot of attention. But here's what's not getting a lot of attention. South of Boise, the Chinese bought that 50 square miles sovereign Chinese soil. And they're moving all their people in. This is Idaho as well, and Ohio and other places. And it's like, oh, nobody says anything about that.
No, the mainstream, it's not news.
Right. The governor said, oh, it'll be jobs for Idahoans. Well, it wasn't. They're bringing their own workforce. They're already there. That was last year. So what do you think about that, folks? You know, I mean, here you go. They're giving up sovereign soil for the Chinese debt. So this is no longer the America that, you know, I grew up as a kid, and even before me, your parents talking, your grandparents. It's not. I was down in the largest end of the lake in America, besides the Great Lakes over here in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
I was with my dog swimming, and a park ranger, federalized park ranger, told me I couldn't have my dog in the lake because it's federal law in Washington.
Gee, where?
Well, yeah, that's so to add to your, I said, are you serious? He says, it's like taking your dog to the public swimming pool. There was a swimming area with logs chained together. I'm talking to him, knee high in water, looking at some deer poop in the lake with my little dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you got to be kidding me. He said, I can't believe you didn't see that sign there. I said, honestly, believe me, I didn't. I said, it had a little dog with a cross over it, like no dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was like, don't litter or something, but never occurred to me to not have my dog in a lake, and I'm the only guy there. And we're talking on the American side, it's, I don't know, 180 miles long. Mile wide, mm-hmm. wide. Are you kidding me? So I hear you. If you want any of these benefits from the government, food, fuel, you know, your unemployment, which you should have been given your whole check.
That's what really cracks me up, Uncle Buck, is when I just Googled EDD, which is employment, it's that development department, all that. Well, when you, it doesn't appear on the page, but the summary is the largest government agency in the state of California has over 10,000 employees with service centers all over the country. I thought, gee whiz, they got more employees than the place I got fired from. And then the thing is, I didn't know about having what they call an adjunctor or it's a judge. When I first applied, the person from the casino representing them, you know, testifying against me while I got it. But I also, I have to go before a judge, and I paid into it, and you're telling me I can't claim my benefits? And now it looks like I'm going to have to go before a judge again to explain why I was gone for 2 weeks.
Well, there you go. And, you know, I wish people would get as mad on their taxes as they would their gun rights. So you're willing to go out every day and get money stolen from you by the IRS, which is not an American entity, which is based out of Puerto Rico. Yeah, based out of Puerto Rico, the collection arm for the International Monetary Fund. I tell everyone, go type in Joe Bannister, former IRS kingpin, got fired, happened to be a believer. Said, it's true. All these people have been putting away, have been researching their claims, and they're right. Went to his superiors, they fired him. Went around the country, they went after him and tried to prosecute him to shut him up. He won the court case by Freedom Law School, I think it was 2003.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, and all the time. He's on InfoWars and other programs. He's got his own program, Freedom Above Fortune. And you're able to go out like you just did and take the money from you, and then you have to beg and plead to see if you'll get it? Folks, The income tax, it's unlawful. Joe Bannister said, we all know this, but the courts are cops are corrupt, but you have no platform. Well, that's the worst thing you can do is to be a W-2/W-4 wage earner. You've got to create something yourself. You may have to live in a tent. I've lived in tents. It's not so bad. I lived in the military. I've lived in teepees. I love teepees. You know, it's great. I'd rather live in a teepee. But you're not going to die. You'll be fine. So learn to create something and sell something where you're not paying to this income tax, which is unlawful, illegal. It's off the hook. It's proven. Sherry Jackson Peel, she did 2 years, another former IRS agent, in Fed prison on a misdemeanor. And so I wish people would get mad about every day waking up and then taking your life force, your wages away from you. So look, you got to go to a judge and say, can I please have the money I gave you guys that you forcibly took from? Well, I don't know. So start getting with communities like that and start producing something. You know, start learning a trade. It's so important. A carpenter works with me, and he's a master carpenter. I'm so impressed with stuff he knows. I said, man, your skills and mechanics, guys use their hands, are going to be like the new lawyers, doctors. Because, I mean, people don't know how to do what you do. So learn
a trade. Well, I know how to bake my own bread, and I can even bake it in a solar oven if I need to.
Well, there you go. I mean, food and fuel are king, and then people that can fix things and people that can build things. Learn a trade. You know, everyone's got to eat. So I just say that, and I'll shut up now, but it is off the hook now. I'm in awe about what's going on now. I mean, I knew it was coming, but it's like, man, they're moving so fast now. Holy cow.
It's true, and like I say, I'm facing, well, I do have a silver reserve, but other than that, keep me in your prayers, Uncle Buck, because if I can't sell this, and owe taxes, I owe about $500 to the state. And also I found out the EDD is also the one, the tax collector, too. Yeah, they combined all that together a couple of years ago.
And that's why, you know, people argue with me, but there's 32 million secured party creditors. I'm one of them. That was 2010's estimate. I issue them bastards a bill of exchange, and then I enforce it, and I say, no. You're taking this under House Joint Resolution 192. It's the remedy. Here's the law.
Yeah.
And you're going to fight with them, but you got to put all your stuff in a trust if you have anything, or several trusts, so it's not yours, is what the rich do.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to be rich to put in a trust. I just did a trust last night for $280. And it's one of the remedies I know to protect yourself from seizure. So, but we're not taught that in government training camp. We're taught, be a good slave, pay your taxes, you know. So, you've got my number. You'd be more than happy to call me. It's just, I knew my farm was not just for me. It's for many like-minded folks. But I'm a strong believer. I believe it's very important to keep the commandments. It's very important to love one another, as Messiah says, I have loved you. But that doesn't mean, you know, let's carouse and drink and holler and be whoremongers and whores. No, man, there's a certain specific rule that are laid down. And I follow them as best I can. And the blood of Christ is, you know, gets me through with stuff that I make mistakes on, but I repent and move forward quickly. But this is where it's coming. It's coming quick, and it's going to be in your face. And now you see, you're on the street, or you're going to go to a work camp.
That's true. And, you know, I've tried to tell my girlfriend, I'm gradually waking her up. I said, I want us to get together. I want to go ahead, because the veterans, VA, only have two things they have to fulfill me. Is that to bury me and give me a loan to buy some property. And that's why I want to go semi-rural. I'm tired of the city, and I want to have some chickens.
Oh, sure. I have 50-plus chickens, and we'll be adding at least 100.
Do you have any guineas? Do you have any guineas, Uncle Buck?
No, I've got Rhode Island Reds. I've got, get my mind now, a little gray dappled ones there.
Dominickers? Yeah.
There's another name for them, but I've got some ones for the big white ones with the big plump front ends on them there for meat.
Yeah.
oh gosh, I'm not a big chicken person in the sense of knowing what are, but I know which ones lay and which ones don't and which ones are for me. But it's very important to have chickens. Chickens are going to be like gold, man.
They are, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Eggs are, I mean, who doesn't like eggs?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
I mean, everything. So, no, nah, hey, you know, all the church groups I know, the pastors I'm friends with, you know, they all know that I've got pastor friends in Arkansas doing their ARCs, as we like to call them. I got them all over the place. They all know what's up, and their members are getting together, like in the last storm on the, in the East Coast. It was the churches that prepared and doled out food and gasoline, not FEMA. Once again, FEMA failed.
Yeah,
FEMA was pissed at the churches for having the ability to help people. So, you know, you see the world. You see the kind of folks that are out there, the trashy young people that... They're not necessarily young, no values, look at you with stone cold death in their eyes, could walk over your body, you know, as you're needing help. I mean, you see them out there. People say, oh, well, hey, I don't want to be around those kind of people. I want to be around good men and good women that help each other.
Yeah, that's so true, Uncle Bob.
Yeah.
So true.
And this is when we all can eat, really. We can go into a grocery store, but, you know, I know a pastor friend just down the road from me. He's got two boys and a wife. He says, we eat eggs, potatoes, rice, and we're spending $1,000 a month on food for all four of us. He's got big strapping boys, and he says, and that's we're trying our best with four of us not to spend money on food. That's how outrageous food is now, and we haven't even gone into the collapse, so to speak, on, let's say it increases another 20%. You know, come on now. You just, folks, you got to be around like-minded people. Get on the net, search, and people are always worried, what if they're religious fanatics? Well, you know, if they follow the Ten Commandments, God bless them. But look what you get otherwise.
Yeah, that's true. That's what's true.
Yeah. So, brother, I'll shut up and let you run your show. I'll just kick back on the line and listen.
Okay, I'm going to take another little music break, and I'm going to dig up some news articles and... And thanks so much for calling, Uncle Buck. I really do appreciate it.
You bet.
That guest out of the thin air.
Well, hey, you just call me anytime. We can talk off air, too.
Okay. All right. Anyway, folks, we're going to go to the bottom of our commercial break. I'm going to play a song, and I'll be back and try to do my best to entertain and inform you right here at Freedom Miles Radio. Listen to Ron's Media Matrix. And so we're going to get to a song here. I'm going to play Freedom on the Run. It's a good song after our conversation with Uncle Buck there. And then I'm going to go over here and dig through some news articles, and I'll be right back.
Welcome to the someday there will be true rest and peace. What's going on?
Poker Face. Anyway, you can check out their music at PokerFace.com. And they're independent musicians, so I don't have to deal with the RIAA or the DMCA or anything like that, because Paul has given me permission right here on the show to use his music. So anyway, we hear a lot of the hosts here at FreedomizeRadio.com. We source blacklisted news, and so I was just clicking through there, and I found an interesting article, and I thought you might. I'll read it to you and share the link with you in the chat room. It's from indictinginfo.org. And the title article is School to Hold Active Shooter Drills, Fire Blank Rounds in the Hallways. Man, what more do you need in these crazy days? But we're going to read that article to you, and let me drop that link in the chat room for you so you can peruse on your own time. And let me get over here. I'm lost in my tabs here. But we'll get that right out there to you. And anyway, going over here to addictinginfo.com, originally sourced from blacklistednews.com. CBS News reports that a high school in the far northwest suburb of Chicago will be conducting a school shooting drill, which will include all the usual securing of the classrooms by teachers, locking of doors, closing of curtains, switching off of lights, and huddling in shadowy corners. But this little drill will feature something extra special for the kiddies. The sounds of gunshots as blanks are fired in the school's hallways. Yes, nothing like a bit of post-traumatic stress to round out the school day. According to the email sent out by the Cary Grove High School to parents, this drill may cause some students to have an emotional reaction. Additionally, we have trained social workers on staff who can speak directly with your child should he or she need added support. And it goes on to say, in these days of increasing gunfire, few, if any, parents have a problem with schools being properly prepared to handle such an emergency, and drills are a good method of accomplishing this end. Those born in the 1940s likely remember the whimsical duck and cover civil defense film that first began airing in schools in the 1950s, so children would know how to behave in the event of a nuclear war, though schools didn't improve the setting with a flash of atomic brilliance. I vividly remember tornado drills as a child, our modern-day duck and cover exercises, though I don't remember the deafening train-like sound of a tornado filling the school hallways. Children and adults in the workforce are frequently exposed to those ear-splitting fire drills without the added fun of smoke-clogged passages. But since the terror attacks that rocked our nation on September 11, 2001, schools have been introduced to a new kind of drill called terror drills, which more recently have come to be known as shooting drills. And while most schools conduct these drills in a calm and reasoned fashion, some have made certain gross errors in judgment. Back in 2006, NBC reported that Michigan police officers in full riot gear with weapons drawn stormed a middle school and high school. The students were unaware that they were involved in nothing more than a practice drill. And as one mother put it, some of those kids were so scared, they just about wet their pants. In a school shooting drill at Denver, Colorado Elementary School featuring the deafening sound of gunfire terrorized many of the children. See video coverage. And perhaps the most disturbing of those and of these in the school shooting drill that occurred back in 2008 at New Jersey's Phillipsburg Early Learning Center. That's right, early learning. According to Current, a man burst into the school's library and began shooting blanks, causing terrified teachers to dive under tiny tables for cover. You heard people crying, said one teacher. You heard other people praying. It was pretty dramatic. It seems Cary Grove High School has taken at least one lesson from these incidents. It's much less traumatizing if teachers and students know they're undergoing a drill. Consequently, the school sent out an email ahead of time, though according to CBS, many of the parents never received that email. But presumably, the high school has identified the estimated 10% of students that suffer from anxiety and are aware this drill poses a very real danger of exacerbating that anxiety. I doubt it. Those of us with children who suffer from some sort of anxiety disorder are told to monitor and limit the exposure to scary images and sounds on TV. That's right, the TV, including the news. Experts will have to amend that to also include schools that choose to conduct militarized emergency drills in such a realistic fashion. The school's email to parents read in part, please note that we will be firing blanks in the hallway in an effort to provide our teachers and students some familiarity with the sound of gunfire. I'm disturbed by this inclination of schools to want to normalize gunfire in their hallways to get students used to it. It's a rather tragic commentary on our society. A government report on school safety notes that the odds of a child dying in school from a homicide or suicide are less than 1 in 1 million. I guess the odds of children being traumatized by these realistic school shooting drills are much higher. The Chicago Sun-Times put out an excellent report titled Deadly Lessons School Shooters Tell Why. Highlighted in the report is an interview with Luke Woodham, who killed his mother and two students in Pearl, Mississippi at the age of 16. When asked what adults slash teachers could have possibly done to have prevented the situation, he responded, I think they should try to bond more with their students, talk to them. It doesn't have to be about anything, just have some kind of relationship with them. Prevention A sounds like a much more effective plan than turning our schools, our nurturing institutions of learning, into militarized school, militarized shooting drill zones. And that's from addictinginfo.org. And you know what? I just came to my mind. I forgot to go to our commercial break. So we're at the quarter of the hour, and I'm going to go to the commercial break. And we'll come back and cover some more news with you. Make sure you stay tuned to Ron's Media Matrix, brought to you by Freedomizer Radio. And, of course, as always, you can call us here, 347-324-2704. I'm open for conversation. If you'd like to call in, have something on your mind, just call that number, 347-324-3704. And in the meantime, I've got to play my commercials. I skipped over it in our conversation with Uncle Buck. So we're going to get right to that. And we'll be back with more of Ron's Media Matrix. In the meantime, we're going to hear a few words from Well, let's see if we can find my commercials. Yeah. Don't want to pass those up. We're going to hear a few words from this motion, Shade the Motion Picture. This is a new sponsor here. And along with ESP Botanical, Silver Lake Tea Soda Stream, and Solovay, we're going to hear a little bit from them, along with some show promos for the Freedom Miles Radio Network. So we'll be right back after these messages.
Get ready for the documentary adventure ride of your life. Shade the Motion Picture. A view into the globalist domain. And Embellus and Burma's film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We have to let them know that their world government has been identified, and they thought they just clawed the world economy to bring in a worldwide police state, but instead, it's going to bring them down.
You have to stand up. Speak up. Speak out.
Shade the Motion Picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at ShadeTheMotionPicture.com.
We are so pleased to announce ESP Botanicals is now sponsoring Freedomizer Radio. They have a bath and body line of products made for keeping your skin beautiful and healthy, but it's also for psoriasis, eczema, rosacea, and dermatitis treatment. They are meticulously prepared skincare products made from the best botanicals available. Committed to buying only from the growers when they can and using the highest quality cold-pressed oils, botanical organic additives, the best steam-expressed essential oils, and the least processed carrier oils that are available in today's marketplace. Pamper yourself or someone special in your life. Give the gift of beautiful, glowing skin. ESPBotanicals.com. Thank you so much for supporting us at Freedomizer Radio.
Hello again, Freedomist. Proof is here, and I want to talk to you about a brand new soda maker called SodaStream. Now, the Proof House has had SodaStream for about a year, and we love the thing. We use it quite often. With SodaStream, you can have fresh-made soda in seconds. One of the big things we like about it is that there's no high-fructose corn syrup and no aspartame. There's over 60 flavors, or you can create your own. Not just sodas, they also have iced teas and energy drinks. Here at the Proof House, we make egg cream sodas all the time. Some other facts to consider here, there's no electricity, no more wasted bottles and cans, and the most important thing is that it tastes great. Keep in mind, too, this is a perfect family present for Christmas, or, hey, just surprise the family with something great. Also, for a limited time, there's free shipping. So go to FreedomizerRadio.com and look for the SodaStream link, and I hope you check out the product. That's SodaStream right on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Rob Nellen Live is a show exposing the fallacy of the right-left paradigm while promoting liberty and freedom. A plethora of guests will challenge the establishment, mainstream media, the New World Order, and hopefully you. Listen to Rob Nellen Live Sundays between 3 and 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network.
How do you wake up in the morning? Do you jump out of bed with a smile? Or do you hit the snooze button over and over again? Tune in each Friday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time to Wake Up and Live. I'm your host, Christine Siegel. On my show, you will learn valuable health and wellness tips that will boost your energy levels. Are you eating a sad diet? Learn how to find quality, nutrient-dense foods. Life is what you make of it. Only you can change your life. You are that important. Join me, Christine Siegel, on Wake Up and Live here on Freedomizer Radio.
All right, folks, we're back here with Ron's Media Matrix, brought to you by Freedomizer Radio. And anyway, during the past week, I tried to keep track of We do have some we have new show hosts once in a while, and I'd like to welcome Christine Ripa Siegel to the Freedomizer Radio Network, and encourage you. I just played her ad. Go and listen to her show at 12 p.m. on Fridays Pacific Standard Time, right here on Freedomizer Radio, and I believe it's a nutritional type type show, so you might want to tune into that. So we welcome Christine Ripa Siegel to the Freedomizer Radio Network. And anyway, so I was looking through the news articles, but I just want to make a little commentary that when I started here at Freedomizer, I was making some preparations for harder times, and during that time I did invest in physical silver. I haven't checked the price lately. I haven't made a lot. I've taken a little bit of a loss, but I do have that there just in case things don't get too much worse. I do have a little bit of a reserve there, so I might have to sell that. Hopefully I'm not. I invested in two ways. I invested in the silver ingots, which is this little 1 ounce bars, and then I have the coins that have the numismatic value. But anyway, I may have to sell a little bit of that to get me through this final push to live in another place. But anyway, speaking of the economy, I was looking at another news article, which I sourced from Blacklisted News originally, but I have the link here. It's from the Business Insider, and I'm going to share that with you. And then hopefully we'll go to the top of the hour, and of course I'm welcoming you to call in if you like. If you have any comments or questions regarding the show or anything that I've put out here. And you can call us at 347-324-3704 right here. We'll get you on the line. And something I always like to also mention, that if you just want to listen to the show and you don't happen to be next to your computer at home or whatever, most cell phones, you can just call that number. And as long as you don't press 1, you can... it'll put you in and you'll be able to listen to the show live. You press 1, it'll put you in the studio quay and we'll take your call right here. So anyway, from Business Insider, let me get that link and drop it in the chat room there for you. And I'll share that with you. And it tells a lot. Now, occasionally I sit here and watch CNBC and the stock market guys, but that seems to be another part of the economy. Because I'm not invested in the stock market, and according to them, things are good on Wall Street, but are they good on Main Street? And so I found this article from, the Business Insider. And the title of the article is, Nearly Half of American Families Live on the Edge of Financial Ruin, from the Business Insider. In the past few years, Americans have learned a thing or two about how quickly disaster can strike. And with each Hurricane Sandy, housing crisis, and stock market crash that rocked the world. Let me make sure I got my mic on. Yeah, I got my mic on. Sometimes I forget. We're faced with the realization that many of us simply aren't prepared for the worst. A sobering new report by the Corporation for Enterprise Development shows nearly half of U.S. households, that's 132.1 million people, don't have enough savings to weather emergencies or finance long-term needs like college tuition, healthcare, and housing. And let me scroll down here. According to the Assets and Opportunity Scorecard, these people wouldn't last 3 months if their income was suddenly depleted, much like my case. More than 30% don't even have a savings account, and another 8% don't bank at all. We're not just talking about people in the poverty line either. Plenty of the middle class have joined the ranks of the working poor, struggling right alongside families scraping by on food stamps and other forms of public assistance. I'd like to make a little comment on that. Initially, when I went to court over my unemployment benefit, I applied for food stamps and I got them for a short period of time. But then I had to tell the food stamp people that I received unemployment, and they cut them off. So I didn't really, hell with it. It was just too much trouble. They wanted too much information. Anyway, going on with the article. More than one quarter of households earning $55,465 to $90,000, I don't know where they get these figures, annually have less than 3 months of savings. and another quarter of households are considered net worth asset poor, meaning that the few assets they have, such as a savings account or durable assets like a home, business, or car, are overwhelmed by their debts, the study says. Stuck on the wheel. One of the prolonging reasons consumers have consistently struggled to make ends meet has more to do with larger economic issues than whether or not they can balance a checkbook. Put further report, household median net worth declined by over $27,000 from its peak in 2006 to $68,948 in 2010. And at the same time, the cost of basic necessities like housing, food, and education have soared. It's a dichotomy that is hammered home in a new book by finance expert Helene Olin in Pound Foolish, Exposing the Dark Side of the Personal Finance Industry. Olin knocks down most of the commonly spread advice that is sold by the personal finance industry. Most notably, the idea that if you're not making ends meet in America, you're doing something wrong. The problem is fixed costs, the things that are difficult to cut back on. Housing, health care, and education cost the average family 75% of their discretionary income in the 2000s. The comparable figure in 1973, 50%, Owen writes. And even as the cost of buying a house plunged in many areas of the country in the latter half of the 2000s, causing, needless to say, its own set of problems, the price of the necessary expenditures kept rising. And as the new report shows, wherever consumers can't cope with costs, they continue to rely on plastic. The average borrower carries more than $10,700 in credit card debt. One in five households still rely on high-risk financial services that target low-income and underbanked consumers. And given the fact the same report by the CFPB last year found nearly identical trends among consumers who were no closer to finding a solution than ever. So that's from the Business Insider. And, you know, I can agree with that. The personal finance industry, whatever you want to call it, they claim that if you're not making ends meet, there's something wrong with it. But they seem to emphasize that you should just keep borrowing. Borrowing. And you never get ahead. You never get ahead. I have a cousin in West Tennessee. I talked to him recently. He's on Social Security disability. He's disabled. And right now, just for him to go from 1 month to the next, he has to go to one of these, what do they call it, quick loan businesses. And he says, it just keeps you in a bind. So you can see it right there. I mean, what... Even if you don't have a credit card, you can go to one of many of these places who will quickly loan you a couple of $1,000s, but they want to charge you 30, 40, 50% interest. So you never quite get out. As Uncle Buck was saying, you got to get off the credit card thing, and especially he mentions the UCC, the Uniform Commercial Code of Conduct, I think it is. But anyway, we talked about that anyway. And you just got to be self-sufficient, and you may have to live it rough and just open your own business. The manufacturing jobs are gone. There's just nothing left here, and the Chinese are steadily buying us out. But anyway, we're at the top of the hour, and, of course, if you'd like to call in, you're welcome to do so. At 34, let me get that number. I can't. You can call us here at 347-324-3704. I'm open lines, you know, if you have anything on your mind. I'd like to just talk. You're welcome to do so. But anyway, I'm going to go to my top of the hour commercial break. Well, actually, I know I don't really need to. I want to spread it out to after the quarter because I've forgotten. Oh, well. So, yeah, we'll go to top of the hour commercial break, and I'll come back, share some more news with you, but then I'm going to take a break probably at the first quarter of the hour there and play a little music for you, and I need to refresh my coffee, so I do have sort of a plan here going, but anyway, if you'd like to call in, 347, and I'll take your call after the commercial break, call us at 347-324-3704, and I'm going to play a few commercials here to kind of play catch up. And make sure you stay tuned. So So we're going to hear a few ads that we haven't played yet. Trying to get them all out of the way here. We're going to hear from, looks like I got a phone call. Okay, let me, anyway, I'm going to go to this ad, folks. We'll be right back.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
In today's economy, the ability to access data quickly can mean the difference between success and failure. Maximum Archive's MyDrive service lets you have access to your data from just about any device and pretty much anywhere. MyDrive makes sure that when it counts, you can get what you need, because failure's not an option. Sign up for MyDrive today at MaximumArchive.com. Use partner code Freedomizer at checkout and help fund the Freedomizer Radio Network. That's MaximumArchive.com.
Anyway, folks, I had a little connection problem there. Let me play some ads again. Man, I'm just having a kind of a strange day here. So we're going to hear from William Lewis Films.
Want to spread awareness to your neighbors, family, and friends about what is going on in our country today? It may be things you already know, like the large number of FEMA camps spread around this country to lock up citizens like you and me. What legislators are doing to strip states and people of their sovereign rights. Or legislation giving states the power to force vaccinate under a declared state of emergency. Do your neighbors understand what is going on? William Lewis Films offers the perfect tools to inform our population about this government's tyrannical shift from a constitutional republic to a despotic democracy. Films like 911 Ripple Effect, Beyond Treason, One Nation Under Siege, Washington You're Fired, Camp FEMA, Enemy of the State, Don't Tread on Me, Blood of Patriots, The Ron Paul Uprising, even 911 in Plain Sight, William's first production, are all available at williamlewisfilms.com. Get your DVDs today at williamlewisfilms.com. Educate against the police state.
I am an autonomous government agent here to steal your livelihood.
Not so fast. I'm Sovereign Filing Solutions.
And I'm the Sovereign. We're teamed up
to bring you
the truth without censorship.
Are you tired of being fed multi-million-dollar media lies?
Are you ready for the real story?
Sovereign Filing Solutions has teamed up with the Sovereign newspaper to make sure you get it.
And not the BS this guy behind me wants to feed you.
Take the step, help make the change.
Oh, come on, that's not even fair. How are we supposed to rule indiscriminately if you know what's going on?
Hello everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house. And Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants. I just love the taste of it. And this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic. Great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com. And check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea.
All All right, we're back here at Freedomizer Radio with Ron's Media Matrix. Had a little hiccup there. I went to play to my commercial break. The phone rang, and then the Skype monster got me, so I had to hang up, call back in the show, and start my show again. So, yeah, all at once. And so that was my housekeeper calling, and I forgot to tell her that I won't be able to pay her. So, anyway, back to the news here. Let me see what we got going here. I've covered a couple articles from blacklistednews.com, and I was just looking through here, and I saw a few more that might be of interest to you. So we're going to read one of those, and I'm going to take a music break and get a fresh cup of coffee. Man, just everything happened at once there. So let me see what it is that I wanted to talk about. And here's the article that I wanted to refer to. This is originally sourced from blacklistednews.com. And let's see where it comes from originally. And we'll give them the credit for the article. And I'll share that with you and put the link in the chat room. Okay, this is from U.S. prison population seeing unprecedented increase. And this is from strattwist.com. There's a lot of different papers out there, but we'll put that link in the chat room for me. And I'll share this article with you. And you're welcome to call in and make comments if you like. Had a little interruption there. I had to call back into the show. So, anyway, those things happen. This is from StratRisk.com. U.S. prison population seeing unprecedented increase. The research wing of the U.S. Congress is warning that 3 decades of historically unprecedented buildup and the number of prisoners incarcerated in the United States have led to a level of overcrowding that is now taking a toll on the infrastructure of the federal prison system. Over the past 30 years, according to a news report by the Congressional Research Service, CRS, the federal prison population has jumped from 25,000 to 219,000 inmates, an increase of nearly 790%. Wow. Swollen by such figures, for years, the United States has incarcerated far more people than any other country, today imprisoning some 716 people out of every 100,000. Although CSO reports are not made public, a copy can be found here. This is one of the major human rights problems within the United States, as many of the people caught up in the criminal justice system are low-income, racial and ethnic minorities, often forgotten by society. Maria McFarland, Deputy Director for the U.S. Program at Human Rights Watch, told IPS. In recent years, as a consequence of the imposition of very harsh sentencing policies, McFarland's office has seen new patterns emerging of juveniles and very elderly people being put in prison. Last year, some 95,000 juveniles under 18 years of age were put in prison, and that doesn't count those in juvenile facilities, she noted. And between 2007 and 2011, the population of those over 64 grew by 94 times the rate of the regular population. Prisons clearly aren't equipped to take care of these aging people, and yet the question what threat they pose to society and a justification for imprisoning them. According to the new CRS report, a growing number of these prisoners are being put away for charges related to immigration violations and weapons possession. But the largest number is for relatively paltry drug offenses, an approach that report author Nathan James, a CRS analyst in crime policy, warns may not be useful in bringing down crime statistics. Research suggests that while incarceration did contribute to lower violent crime rates in the 1990s, there are declining marginal returns associated with ever-increasing levels of incarceration, James notes. He suggests that one potential explanation for this could be that people have been increasingly incarcerated for crimes in which there is a high level of replacement. For instance, he says, if a serial rapist is incarcerated, the judicial system has the power to prevent further sexual assaults by that offender, and it is likely that no one will take the offender's place. However, if a drug dealer is incarcerated, it is possible that someone will step in to take that person's place, James writes. Therefore, no further crimes may be averted by incarcerating the individual. Smarter on crime. Of course, the U.S. prison population's blooming needs need to be traced back to changes within the federal criminal justice system. Recent decades have seen an expanding get-tough approach on crime here, under which even nonviolent offenders are facing stiff prison sentences. In turn, overcrowding has become a massive issue, with the federal prison system as a whole operating at 39% overcapacity in 2011, according to CRS. The result has also been significant price overruns, with the Bureau of Prisons budget doubling to nearly $6.4 billion, even while hundreds of millions of dollars worth of unaddressed infrastructure problems continue to mount. If the problems being experienced by the federal prison system actually stand in contrast to certain trends at the state level. While some states have dealt with even more worrisome problems of prison overcrowding, including California, which in 2011 was ordered by the U.S. Supreme Court to take steps to reduce the pressure, recent years have seen movement at the state level to counter over-incarceration. Some of this action may have come from serious state budget crisis. Currently, after all, it costs between $25,000 and $30,000 to house a prisoner in the United States. According to a new report by the Sentencing Project, a Washington advocacy group working on prison reform, prison populations in the United States overall declined by around 1.5% in 2011. Furthermore, last year lawmakers in 24 states adopted policies that may contribute to downscaling prison populations. There has been a marked change in the amount of activity at the state level to end our addiction to incarceration. Vinita Gupta, a deputy legal director with the American Civil Liberties Union, told IPS. Some states are currently having many discussions that would have not have had 10 years ago, getting smarter on crime rather than tougher on crime. None of these moves are comprehensive enough to address the large scope of the problem, but they're very important starting points. She continued, unfortunately, the federal government has been going in the opposite direction. Mandatory minimum. Arguably, the single most important element in explaining the record incarceration numbers, both at the federal and state levels, could be mandatory minimum sentencing requirements, under which federal and state law over the past two decades has automatically required certain prison sentences for certain crimes, particularly for drug offenses. Such policies have eliminated the ability of judges to tailor judicial responses to individual circumstances. Over the years, sitting judges have resigned over mandatory minimum policies, while others have waged high-visibility campaigns for their rollback. Particular attention should be given to reforming mandatory minimums and parole release mechanisms as policies that can work to reduce state prison populations, the Sentencing Project suggests, noting also that mandatory minimums do not reduce crime but result in lengthy prison terms that contribute to overcrowding. Such analysis echoes part of the CSR conclusions while also undergirding growing momentum on the issue. According to the Sentencing Project, seven states last year weakened or repealed certain mandatory minimum regulations. More dramatically, in mid-January, Senator Patrick Leahy, the head of the powerful Senate Judiciary Committee, told a Washington audience that he would support doing away entirely what federal mandatory minimums, which he called a great mistake. Senator Leahy's comments are a very big step towards starting a conversation to address a major drive of the federal growth, the ACLU scooper said. The hope is that some of the stuff that's brewing in the states, where crime in some places is still at an all-time low, can now serve as an example for the federal system. So that's from the stratres.com. And I'm going to go to a music break here, and we'll come back with more news. And as always, you're welcome to call in at 347-324-2704. If you have anything on your mind, anything you'd like to express, and as always, I'd like to remind you to visit www.freedomizerradio.com for more information about the Freedomizer Radio Network. And there you can find about our sponsors, our hosts, some of our past guests, and along with an interactive chat room where you can communicate with both listeners and hosts and possibly pose questions to our guests as well. So Looks like we got quite a few folks. Man, let me give a little shout-out to the chat room. We have Guts is back, and he's a regular listener. Kitty Cute UK, hello, Kitty Cute UK. A96376 is there with us, and along with A95784. And Sammy's there, and quite a few others, and A98202 as well. So anyway, I'm going to go to a little music break, and we'll be right back. Looks like we do have a caller holding, so we'll take a call, and we'll just skip the music break now and see what he has on his mind. We have a call from 928, and we're going to bring him on.
Hi there,
928. Hello.
Hi there, young fellow. This is Mr. B. I think you've heard of me on a few of your other programs.
I have a
real dumb question. Do you want to know when the federal government got from our Constitution and how they got it that my body no longer belongs to me, that it belongs to the state, the city, the county, and the federal government? I'm just trying to find out when they took the authority to hold my body. If I want to smoke a cigarette, they tell me I can't smoke it here or there, especially, and you can't smoke it outside. And if I want to take a drink of soda, oh, well, then that'll be the next thing. Like they have in New York, they're limiting the amount of sodas that people can drink. I just want to know when our government took over the right to say what I can take in my body and when they became the possessors of my body.
That's so true, Mr. B. That is so true. What the thing is, it's quite ironic that marijuana is illegal at the federal level. And now, I'm not a redneck against drugs. I believe there are some medical applications for marijuana, and those in need should be able to smoke it. But cigarettes are totally illegal. So why all the fuss about where you can smoke and when you can smoke and what all the fuss of whether or not you can buy a 16-ounce drink of soda as opposed to an 8-ounce drink of soda, whether you can get a gut buster or whatever it is 7-Eleven sells in the big cup. That's absolutely ridiculous. I think there's much more important issues at hand. And it's ironic out here in California. I was recently walking down the street, and I passed a restaurant. I believe it's Rally's. They sell burgers. And on the sign, they take EBT cards. And there's, who says that? Oh, wow, all my callers have dropped. What the heck? Oh, well, Mr. B, call back in if you can. Somehow or another, the call's dropped off the switchboard. Man, what is going on today? I just don't get it. Mr. B, if you're out there, please call back in. Anybody else that was listening, you're welcome to call back in. Gee whiz, my switchboard. Everybody just dropped all of a sudden. Okay, there's one caller back. Okay, hopefully Mr. B will call back in. There he is. Okay, we're going to put Mr. B back on.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I was just curious when this here became the government's authority, because I can't find it anywhere in my Constitution that they own my body. And since when did they have the authority to say what I do with my body? What I drink or what I eat? I can't find anything. And then they're coming around and saying, oh, well, I want your blood. So they get two deputy sheriffs or two law enforcement officers to hold the poor person down, and they take their blood, and then they say, oh, you broke the law because you smoked this or you drank that or whatever. I can't find anywhere in my Constitution where they have the authority to do this.
You're correct, Mr. Bean. You did drop there temporarily. I hope you heard me when I replied to you. Yeah, you're definitely correct. And It's out of control. And I was saying, if they really want to criminalize tobacco, they ought to just go ahead and outlaw it. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that people should have the right, which was given to us back when we first became a nation, and their body belonged to them. I remember a case which was in a Mickey Spillane mystery that he wrote about, and California tried to change the law, but they weren't able to do that. Where a fellow was released from Nevada, and that there was no extradition, that Nevada had taken care of everything and going to let him to be tried in California for the same crime and jointly with the crime they had there. Well, after he had served the time and got sentenced in California, after he got out of jail, Nevada went back and tried to take him back again. I think that's the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard of.
That's true, Mr. B. That is so true. It's getting spooky out there.
Well,
yeah, it's like you don't have to give consent anymore.
Stand up and let our politicians know that we are no longer going to hold them and let them hold office unless they start supporting our Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence, like this new bill that we have here to take away our firearms. I can't find anything in the Constitution or any court decision that says that they have the right to say that they can do this or that with my right to preserve and protect and defend myself. This is a constitutional freedom granted to me by the Creator.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, Mr. B. And speaking of federal regulation, I didn't know this, but back when I was having financial troubles, I explained to the bank that my balance may go to zero. I may be, having some problems moving money back and forth. And so they said, yeah, we'll give you a special six-month grace period or whatever. So anyway, I'm getting, my money's really dwindling, I get this letter saying that there's federal regulation on how many times I can make a withdrawal or how often I can move money from one account to the next. What kind of ridiculous stuff is that? Since when is the federal government involved in telling me how I can spend my money?
Well, it's like the 16th Amendment. Do you know that they lacked five states to ratify that for income tax? Go back and look at the number of states and the time limit that they had on it, and they were short five states.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. But nonetheless, we have the IRS breathing down our back.
That's because we let them get away with it. We have to make our politicians that are sitting in Washington accountable for the oath that they took. They are not accountable because all they care about us is 6 weeks or 6 months before election is when they come around and talk to us and say, oh, I need your help. But after that, if they're in the Senate, they don't see us for 6 years, and they say, oh, well, I can get away with this and that. And I have never known any job like in a congressman where you can hold a job for 2 years and have two-thirds of your salary for the rest of your life. I sure like to have that job on any job that I get.
That doesn't, they don't even, if you can find out, but it's how often these people in the Congress and Senate, when they go to vote on something, they don't show up two-thirds of the time. They're all gallivanting around playing golf or doing something else, or having money stuck in their pocket by a political action committee. Then they show up for a vote, as long as they're getting paid extra to vote on something. But on other laws, they just don't show up. And an absence of a regular job, they wouldn't tolerate that. Would you agree with that, Mr. B?
Right, I agree with that. You know, I like the thing that Thomas Jefferson said when he was in the White House. He said he would veto any law that was more than 10 pages long, because if you can't say it in 10 pages, it doesn't need to be a law.
Too many words, a lot of traps there.
It's like this Obamacare. You know, it's unconstitutional because it never started out in the House. All tax bills are supposed to start in the House. That bill started in the U.S. Senate. So where did they get off saying that it was constitutional? Well, they said it was a tax law, but they didn't look to see where it started from. It started in the Senate, not in the House. And all tax laws are supposed to start in the House. It's like this baloney that we're hearing now from Feinstein. I can't find where she has the right or the authority to do anything with our Second Amendment, because it says it shall not be infringed upon. That is infringement as my right as a single individual.
That's correct, Mr. B. And, you know, when you think about it, the health care bill, it wasn't so much whether it was legal or not. It was up to how much the political action committees could stuff the money in the pockets of the members of the Congress and Senate to get a workaround.
Well, I would like to know where a man can start out as just an average Joe, and by the end he served his 2 years, he's a millionaire.
Yeah, and originally those jobs weren't meant to be high-paying, nor were they meant to go on until they got in there and changed it themselves, where they get reelected over and over and over and over and over again.
Well, that's because, you see, they bamboozle the people into believing that they're doing things for them, and they will quote the one or two things that they did that support the people's rights. Well, what about the times that they vote for all of the things that don't support their rights? You see, the problem is that I see with most politicians that are running, especially when we have ones running for president, they don't go after the things that the guy that's running for president on either party, they show where they are infringing upon people's rights.
And like you said, they don't look for support until the 6 months before their election comes up.
That's right, and then they try and bamboozle you into believing that they did all these things for you, and I'm going to help you with this and help you with that. And that's the biggest malarkey I've heard in years. When I was in the state legislature, this is many years ago, I tried to get two bills passed. I couldn't get them out of committee, and I said, if I can't get these two bills passed, I won't run for re-election. Well, I never ran for re-election. One of them was equal property tax for every single individual in the state, like our mines. Now I'll give you, for instance, and I'm going to give you just some figures as, for instance, figures. A mine that's worth $10 million pays $200 in taxes. You that own a piece of property that's worth $10 million, you're going to pay roughly $3 million in taxes. Now, that's not equal representation. That is a violation of our Constitution, and which falls under the title of nobility. You're getting a grant. So as the grant, what country do you represent?
That's true. That's true. I've never heard of that. I've never heard of that. And, you know, we had Uncle Buck here. He called in at the beginning of the show talking about a lot of those issues where, you know, we simply, you have to plead something for yourself because there's no private industry left. I mean, not as far as manufacturing. But there were times in this country when, especially up in Pennsylvania, when they had the steel mills, a man could work at a steel mill. Granted, it's a very dangerous job, but he can make really good money and be a middle-class type person. But all that's gone. I mean, we hardly make anything here anymore. It's all made in China.
Well, the reason why is, and I'll tell you the reason why, I don't know if you studied the history of our unions back, I'd go back around the early 30s and so forth and so on. Many men lost their lives fighting for unions so that men could earn a livable wage and have safety conditions. And the owners of the steel mills and the mines and the other places, they fought this tooth and nail. They hired poor Chinese to come in and work on the railroads where they weren't paying for safety conditions or anything. And it ended up that men died trying to save common, ordinary decency rights for the individual citizens.
That's true. That's true. And now we've all been sold out to China. So anyway, Mr. B, I'm going to have to go to a commercial break here. You want to hang out with us and talk with us a little bit more after the commercial break?
Sure, I'll be here. I'm an old man. I'm 87 years old, so I've seen a little bit of things go on around the country a few times.
Okay, I'm going to play a few commercials. And, I remember you, I think you called into a pre-show a couple times, but we're going to go to our commercial break here. We have Mr. B with us, a longtime listener and caller, and I'm going to play a few ads and hopefully Skype connection to hold up. And we'll be back with more Ron's Media Matrix right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network. So we'll be right back, folks.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shades, the motion picture. A view into the globalist domain. Annabella's and Burma's film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We're going to let them know that the world government has been identified, and they thought they just cloned the world economy to bring in a worldwide police state. But instead, it's going to bring them down.
You have to stand up. Speak up. Speak out.
See the motion picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at SheTheMotionPicture.com.
We are so pleased to announce ESP Botanicals is now sponsoring Freedomizer Radio. They have a bath and body line of products made for keeping your skin beautiful and healthy, but it's also for psoriasis, eczema, rosacea, and dermatitis treatment. They are meticulously prepared skincare products made from the best botanicals available. Committed to buying only from the growers when they can and using the highest quality cold-pressed oils, botanical organic additives, the best steam-expressed essential oils, and the least processed carrier oils that are available in today's marketplace. Pamper yourself or someone special in your life. Give the gift of beautiful, glowing skin. ESPBotanicals.com. Thank you so much for supporting us at Freedomizer Radio.
Hi, this is Mary Lou Van Houten, co-host and producer of Getz and Rising on FreedomizerRadio.com. Join host Libby Gadsden and me every Monday through Thursday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time as we talk with cutting-edge guests about the truth of a variety of topics. We are 100% free speech. Getz and Rising on Freedomizer Radio, because you can handle the truth.
Oh, mister, you are so tall. What's your name?
Peter.
Like in the audio drama In Our Image?
Exactly.
Oh, I love listening to In Our Image on Freedomizer Radio with Sound Doctor Ministry. What kind of name is Halo anyway?
It means bringer of light. And young lady, right now, I want to bring a little light to you. Elohim servant, Emmanuel, trying to tell you something he says is special. My advice to you, don't waste your time.
You cannot escape me.
Mommies are coming.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to FreedomizerRadio.com and also Facebook us. Right at FreedomizerRadio.com. Catch you there.
All right, we're back here. Ron's Media Matrix, brought to you by Freedomizer Radio. And I'd like to mention that coming up here at 12 o'clock, right after me, is Sound Doctor Ministries. And I'm really excited about Kenneth's new guest, Bill Sullivan, with the radio drama. Be sure to stay tuned for that. And that's really something that you should listen to. So we're coming back here. We've got Mr. B here. We got him on hold, and we're going to bring you back on. Welcome back, Mr. B.
Oh, I'm still here. I was listening to all of the commercials. I talked to your boss there every now and then on his show, and I talked to two or three other people on there. You probably heard me on other shows.
Yeah, I'm. I've been here over a little over a year and a half, and, you know, I try to come in and give my listeners the best experience, and I do like taking calls. But anyway, Mr. B, you said you were a state legislator at one time. Could you tell us a little bit about that? I didn't know that.
Well, that was back during the time that we nominated JFK, and I served one term in the legislature, and I couldn't get stuff out of committee, so I refused to run again. I told people that I wouldn't run if I couldn't get two bills. I wanted to get an equal legislation through, because back until we voted in here in Arizona, the new legislation of equal pay, the wages for men in this state up until then was 32 cents an hour.
Oh, wow.
And this was back during the 60s when we when Kennedy went into office. I tried to get a state referendum through so that we would have equal pay according to the federal minimum wage, but I couldn't get that out of committee either, because that was back at the time the three C's ran the state. I don't know if you know who the three C's were. That's cattle, cotton, and copper ran this state back then.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think prevented that? Was there a lot of the committee members taking some form of political action committee, backing them with money to oppose it?
Well, when I was a member of the legislature, I went to Phoenix, and I was told by, I'm not going to mention any names, now, well, go over to this agency, and they got a car for you. And I says, a car for what? Well, they want you to help them along with their programs, and they got a brand-new car for you, no charge. All you have to do is keep it gassed up, and any repairs you just take back into the agency. And I said, well, who's paying this? Oh, they said, oh, one of the three C's is probably paying for it.
Oh, wow. So this is like, say, I know it's been going on a long time, but it's more open than it ever has been. I haven't seen any news on it, but I imagine when they pass Obamacare, I imagine a lot of the big drug companies lined up behind that.
Yeah, well, Obamacare is the biggest joke coming up and down the pike. All it's doing is hurting the little people. It's not helping anybody, really, other than the big drug companies and the insurance companies. And that's who it's helping.
You know, well, I have a funny feeling, even though I tried reading it at one time, and it was almost impossible. They had some real ridiculous things in there. But what I foresee is it's going to come down to the doctors being, the doctors just giving pills out rather than actually giving any good advice or good care, and that will be a boon for the drug company, because they'll be able to get all these drugs out, which a lot of them they pay the FDA off to skip some of the clinical trials, and so we're just going to be experimented upon by Obamacare. You think that holds any water?
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I've talked to a few physicians that say that they're getting out of the medical profession because they can't afford to take and say they prescribe a specific thing for you, and they have to put it in the computer system, and the computer system says, oh, that's not beneficial, do this. And if you go and do what you feel is correct as a physician, the first time is a $500 fine. The second time is a $5,000 fine. And the third time, you go to prison for 5 years.
My goodness, that sounds like what I'm thinking of. Also, I found out one time, a couple of years back, the VA diagnosed me with hepatitis C. Luckily, my liver wasn't damaged too much, but I had a huge amount of the virus in my blood, and they kept saying, well, do you want to take interferon? So I resisted a couple of occasions, but they said, okay, we're going to do biopsies every 2 years. So after my second one, which really hurt, I said, well, I gave in. I said, let me try the interferon. So I did the 52-week regimen, and it was awful. And eventually the doctor said, okay, you're clear of the virus, although you can't donate blood because of a certain amount of antibodies, such, such, such. So anyway, I didn't realize that my body would have withdrawals from it, and once I took my last thing of interferon, a couple of days later, I felt like I couldn't walk. Every bone in my body hurt, and I went and told the doctor at the VA, and they threw me a bottle of ibuprofen. And I did some study on that, and I found out that that's part of the Agenda 21 or whatever, but that's what they're going to give everybody for the pain.
Right. Well, there's so many things that they got out there now that are not beneficial to the people. I have an old book that was given to me, about 15, 20 years ago, that has a lot of home remedies in it. And I try not to go to the physicians for the simple reason, my friends that are physicians, that they're retiring and getting out of the medical profession, and they say, go find yourself a good book that's got a lot of home remedies. Excuse me. That'll tell you how to treat a lot of these things that they want to give you these fancy drugs, and it's the stuff that they mix with the drug that is not beneficial for you. I haven't taken a flu shot yet, and I've had walking pneumonia 3 times, and I've just used an old remedy that was used back when we had the flu epidemic from the village that my grandmother lived in. And in the village that she lived in, they had no deaths. In all the villages all around her, they poisoned 70 to 80% of the people.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I take 3 different high blood pressure medications, and I know a lot of those damage your liver, but it's difficult to get off that type of stuff. One of my remedies, I don't know how crazy it is, but when I feel a cold coming on, I just dig in and eat as much pink grapefruit as I can. And it seems to give me the relief without having to take all those crazy antihistamines.
Right. Well, if you get vitamin C and you take 500 doses of it, and I'll tell you something else. You may laugh at this, and it's not good for people that are alcoholics or people that like a good snort. But you feel this cold coming on, what you do is you go home, go to bed, and take a tablespoonful of 100-proof alcohol, and you take that every hour on the hour, and you will be surprised. After about the third dose, you'll really start to sweat, and you will sweat that poison right out of your system.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not a big drinker, but... like I said, my thing is, I don't know what it is about the grapefruit, but the bitterness in it, and I know it has massive vitamin C, it seems to clear me up and kind of gives me quite a bit of relief. And those antihistamines, I don't know, they're just so rotten, they dry your sinuses out.
Well, you see, the antihistamines, some of them, they knock down your natural immune system. They don't help your natural immune system. This old doctor that prescribed that alcohol treatment said that forces your natural antibiotics to start to go to work on the problem that you're having.
So the old honey and whiskey remedy actually has some benefits to it.
Right, but you only want to take a tablespoonful of that whiskey every hour on the hour. You start taking more than that, and you're just on the way for a cheap drunk, so to speak.
You know, like I said, I'd like to make sure it's a good, you know, that's one of the things that I came up from a family, and my uncle had made moonshine, and it was an industry, and as well, you know, some say it was for medicinal purposes, and I believe it may have been true in that case.
Well, when I was about 9 or 10 years old, I went back to Oklahoma to visit some relatives, and I had an uncle there, and I asked him, what's that thing there? And he says, oh, that's my go-to-sleep medicine and my get-up-in-the-morning medicine. I said, what is it? He says, that's Grandma's remedy, and it was 100-some-proof alcohol. And that old man, at 95 years old, and I was like 8 or 9 years old, he got up at 3 o'clock in the morning, opened his butcher shop, butchered 3 cows, butchered 2 pigs, and 1 sheep, and had that all done before the butcher shop opened up. He had the inspector come there and inspect all of these things as he butchered them. And then he went out, went home, ate breakfast, and you won't believe what that man ate.
Probably bacon and eggs.
He ate 2 pounds of bacon and 1.5 dozen eggs and 1/2 a loaf of bread. And then he went out and went to work in his North 40 and started plowing with a mule.
Yeah, my dad remembers plowing with a mule. He told me about that. Yeah, that's so true. That's I like my bacon and eggs, but it's also good about the farm is you can raise your own vegetables. You can raise pesticide-free kale and green onions and tomatoes. All those are really important.
I'll tell you something else you can do, which will increase the vitamins and nutritional value of the crops that you grow. And maybe you know this or not. I don't know if you've ever seen the thing, alcohol can be a gas. But if you take and make your own alcohol for your car, and then you take the stuff that's left over and you put that in your field, it will help increase the vitamin and nutritional value of the vegetables that you grow. And if you feed that to your pigs and to your cows and stuff, you would realize that they don't have very little fat in their system.
Is there anything weaker?
That would be your mash from your still, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, well, see, when you feed it to the cattle and to the pigs and to the sheep and stuff, it has no sugar in it because all the sugar's been taken out, and sugar produces fat.
Yeah, that's true, Mr. B. That's true.
But if you get a chance, go look at on the internet. Alcohol can be a gas, and you'll find out a whole lot of things there.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well,
I'm hogging your station here. You better let some other people in there. I don't want to hog it.
Okay, yeah, I was going to break for a news article and take a little music break, but we appreciate you calling in, Mr. B, and you're welcome anytime here at Ron's Media Matrix. As long as I got my internet connection and my big mouth, I'll come on air. And thank you so much for being part of the show.
Well, you'll hear me on a lot of the other stations on your network. I'm on five different other networks all the time I call in.
Okay, well, thank you for being with us, Mr. B.
You're quite welcome.
All right. And that was Mr. B, one of our regular listeners here at Freedom Eyes Radio. And as you can see, that it's Freedom Eyes Radio Network. We do try to provide the best programming possible here. And I do my small part by coming on 2 hours a week and providing you guys with a little content and a place, a forum to air out your complaints and one thing and another. But anyway, we're getting up at the last quarter of the hour and the last hour of the show. So I'm going to cover a little bit of news. I'm going to go dig into something here. And then I'm going to do my calendar for the rest of the day here at Freedomizer. Tell you what's going on, what we got coming up. And I especially encourage you to stay tuned for the next, Kenneth Emanuel has an hour and a half. Stay tuned for Sound Doctrine Ministries. He's going to probably have Bill Sullivan on, and he'll be taking calls as well. And plus, he'll be playing The 2-Minute Warning by Chuck Colson, and along with some of Bill Sullivan's Christian radio drama. I'm really excited about that because I like the way that's presented. Be sure you stay tuned for that. But let's see. I'm going to jump over here to kind of a brief news article to cover with you guys. And as I was talking to Mr. B there, and we're talking about the economy. So I did find this one article from Zero Hedge. It was sourced by BlackListed.News. And Zero Hedge is one of the papers I've been interested in coming in and reading and sharing articles from it with you guys. So I'm gonna post this link in the chat room and talk a little bit about this hyperinflation in Argentina. And it's a really good article. And then we'll go to our calendar and I'll tell you what's going on for the rest of the day. Let's see what we got here. Okay, this is from ZeroHedge.com. Title of the article is Argentina Freezes Supermarket Prices to Halt Soaring Inflation, Chaos to Follow. Up until now, Argentina's descent into hyperinflationary basket case with a crashing currency and loss of outside funding was relatively moderate and controlled. All this is about to change. Today, in a futile attempt to halt inflation, the government of Cristina Kirchner announced a two-month price freeze on supermarket products. The price freeze applies to every product in all of the nation's largest supermarkets, a group including Walmart, Carrefour, Coto, Jumbo, Disco, and other large chains. The company's trade group, representing 70% of the Argentine supermarket sector, reached the accord with Commerce Secretary Guillermo Moreno, the government's news agency, Telem reported, as AP reports. The Commerce Ministry wants consumers to keep receipts and complain to a hotline about price hikes they see before April 1st. Perhaps they will. What consumers will certainly do is scramble into local stores to take advantage of artificially controlled prices, knowing very well they have two short months to stock up on perishable goods at today's prices before the country's inflation comes soaring back. Only this time, many of the local stores will not be around as their profit margins implode and as owners, especially of foreign-based chains, make the prudent decision to get out of Dodge while the getting's good and before the next steps, including such measures as nationalization and the escalation into a full-out hyperinflationary collapse are taken by Argentina's female ruler. As such expects, photos of empty shelves from Buenos Aires to start popping up in a few days, comparable to how threats of gun and weapon ban by the U.S. government did more for the top and bottom line of U.S. arms dealers than any military conflict could. And here's an excerpt. Economist Soledad Perez Duhald of the ABECE.com, ABECE.com, consulting firm, predicted on Monday that the price freeze will only have a very short-term effect and noted that similar moves in Argentina had failed to control inflation. Consumers shouldn't be surprised that the supermarkets are slow to restock their shelves and offer fewer products for sale, she added. In other news, Argentina, just like the rest of the developed world, appears to have a slight inflation tracking problem. Polls show Argentines worry most about inflation, which provides economists estimates could reach 30% by this year. The government says it's trying to hold the next union wage hikes by to 20%, a figure that suggests how little anyone believes the official index that pegs annual inflation at just 10%. The BLS has a solution. Just exclude any product whose price is rising from your CPI calculation and belay. For everything else, there is a hedonic adjustment. The ironic comparison to the U.S. does not end there, however. A more effective way to contain inflation would be to reduce government spending, which is financing an expansion of the money supply, and to have credible price index. Wait. They're still talking about Argentina. Are they still talking about Argentina or the U.S.? The government announced a price freeze on the first business day after the International Monetary Fund formally censured Argentina for putting out inaccurate economic data. The IMF has given Argentina until September to bring its inflation and economic growth statistics up to international standards. If Argentina doesn't comply, it could face expulsion from the world body in November. Well, good thing the U.S. complies with the IMF's stringent seasonally adjusted data reporting quality control, or else the U.S. may have been expelled from the IMF too. And then who would fund the creeping bailout of Europe aside from Germany, of course? The IMF censure is not just a new era. It's also a clear example of organizations' unequal treatment and double standards in regard to certain member countries. Lorenzo said Argentina, just as it agreed with the IMF to do, will keep working to improve its statistical procedures in accordance with good international standards. So anyway, let me make sure I post that link in the chat room. I've got to go to my calendar here and give you the summary of the rest of today's broadcast, and we'll put that in the chat room. But it's almost time for me to go here. Oh, I did put it in the chat room. Okay. So back over here to my calendar, and we'll go to the Freedomizer Alerts at Gmail. And let's see what we got coming up here. Well, today is February 5th, 2013. And following me is Sandrox and Christian Menard, Sound Doctrine Christian Ministries with Reverend Kenneth Emanuel. He'll be have Bill Sullivan as his guest through Zoom, along with some. He's going to play some of the portions of Bill Sullivan's audio drama. Next, we have Gadsden Rising, and we'll check and see if she's got a guest today. I have to go over to another tab here and check that out. We'll go over to the backstage at freedomizeradio.com. She does have a guest. Our guest will be Linnell Babbage Torres, and it's pro-life. A little summary there. So that'll be our guest, Linnell Babbage Torres. And after Gas and Rising, we have Exposing the Enemy. I'm not sure who has that show. That's from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And, of course, as always, we have the ABC show from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And at the primetime slot there, we have The Boss Man, Proof Negative, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And I'm not sure if he has a guest or not. I haven't been looking the backstage here. Looks like I lost my calendar there for a minute. Anyway, make sure you stay tuned on Freedomizer Radio. We have a lot of good shows lined up. A lot of good content, is what they call it nowadays in the internet age, content. And we just have a lot of good shows, and a lot of our hosts do take calls. So you're always welcome to call in to any of the shows at 347-324-3704. That's 347-324-3704. And as a quick reminder, if you're not near your computer, you can call a number and simply just listen in. And if you want to be put in the host quay, press 1 and we'll take your call. So and that's what we have lined up. And so anyway, I'm going to kind of, it's about time for me to get out of here. And so I'm going to play music so my next host can get ready. I'm going to play a song, and that'll get let Kenneth Manuel a time to get ready for his show. And I'm going to play another Poker Face song. We're going to play Losing My Mind, and I'm out of here, folks, and we'll see you next week. So make sure you stay tuned to Freedomizer Radio. And this is from Joe Paul DePetty and Company. Poker Face, Losing My Mind. And we'll see you guys next week.